Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we begin the learning about the laws of Megillah, Part 1. This is Simon Kuf Mem Aleph, 141 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're skipping out of order a little bit in order to be able to learn the halachos that relate to Purim before Purim. So the main concept is that we're told that Mishenichnas Adam Marbim Simcha, this is a joyous month, this is a time of great happiness. That means that even this has halachic ramifications. If a Jew has a case, let's say with a non-Jew, a person should try to adjudicate it during this period, it is a good time, it is a propitious time for the Jewish nation, because it was a time of salvation. We're going to look at four basic concepts in part one today, and that is Tanis Esther, Machzis HaShekel, Davening in Shul, and Reading the Megillah. Let's jump straight in. First part is Tanis Esther. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, as he is wont to do, gives us a little bit of the background over here, the historical background. He describes how that during the times of Mordechai and Esther, the nation of Israel gathered together on the 13th of Adar to protect themselves and to avenge themselves of those who wanted to kill them. And they had to call out for rachamim, for mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we find in general the Torah is that when the nation of Israel are in trouble, they call out to Hashem to help them. Moshe Rabbeinu did this when he fought with Amalek. And so it makes sense that on this day, not only was it a day of success, but it was also a day of fasting and prayer when the nation of Israel took a vengeance against those who wanted to annihilate them. And therefore this day itself, which was the day slated for their destruction, was going to turn into their day of fasting, which is called Tanis Esther. A few basic questions. We're going to look at six right now. Why is it called Esther's fast if everybody fasted? So the Kitzur explains, in order to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to those who pray. So really Esther, when she went into the king's palace, that took place in Nisan, that took place around Pesach time, actually 11 months before this. But because Esther was very much involved in this and she prayed and was a significant figure in this, to remember that if we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are with all our heart, Hashem answers us, and that's why we call Tanis Esther. What happens if I'm not feeling well? So technically speaking, this is the most lenient of all the four minor fast days, and therefore, at a time of need, for instance, a pregnant woman, a nursing or a mother, a person who's slightly sick, let's say a person has eye pain or is in a lot of pain, does not need a fast. Certainly a woman who is within 30 days of giving birth, and a couple that's just in their shower brachos do not need to fast in Tanis Esther, but they do need to make it up afterwards. So if they choose to miss, then they need to fast at a time that they can make it up. This is not just a free pass, but regular healthy people should be fasting. What if I'm undergoing a tough business trip and it's going to be a lot in the system? Do I need to fast? The answer is yes. Being in a situation like that does not get a person out of fasting. What happens if Purim falls on Sunday? So when do we fast? So instead of fasting on Shabbos or Erev Shabbos, it goes back to Thursday. That's when Tanis Esther would be. What happens if I forgot that Thursday was Tanis Esther and I by mistake ate? So in that case, I would need to make up the fast by fasting on a Friday in that case. What happens if there was a bris on Thursday, Tanis Esther Nidche, pushed aside Tanis Esther? So then the Suda, the meal, would be at night, which is usually the way we navigate a Suda of a bris on a fast day. But the father, mother, Moel, and Sunday may actually eat on Thursday itself. Okay, let's move into the second concept. That is Machzis HaShekel. We have a minhag that before Purim, everybody gives half of the coin or currency of that particular time. And so in America, it's half a dollar, whatever the currency is that particular time as well. Why is this the case? So that is as a remembrance, a commemoration of the Machzis HaShekel, which was given during the Adar at the times of the Migdash. How many coins are given? So three halves of the basic currency. Why three? The Torah tells us in Parshas Kisses that it describes giving half the shekel. It enumerates the word truma three times, and Rashi explains there are three separate donations to three separate funds that relate to the base of Migdash around this time. So as a zecher for that, we give three of those half measures as well. Some people have the minhag to try to get silver dollars. If they're in America, coins used to be made of the value that they actually had. So it used to be that the actual value was their weight. Today they're made of amalgam of metals, which is much less than value, just because of it's representing the currency, but not actually the value itself. Some people tried to get the silver half dollars, which come from before the time when they actually still put their silver into them, which have a basic weight, and therefore the value of them should be given, not just the value of half a dollar. When is it given? It's given on the afternoon of Tanis Esther, just before Mincha is said. There's usually a bowl on the bima in the middle of shul. Is it Matanis Levyanim? The answer is no. This is a separate mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah of Purim. Matanis Levyanim is on Purim itself. It is the mitzvah of Zecher of Machzis HaShekel. So if it's not about Purim, then why is it done just before Purim? So the reason is because that's when the biggest crowd of people come to shul. Most people are come to shul just before the Megillah reading, and that's a perfect time for people to give Machzis HaShekel. Where does the money go? So it's given to the poor. Usually the rabbi of the shul will take the money that's kept in that bowl and distribute that to the poor as well. So it's direct stock. It's not going to any fund overhead. It's just going straight to the poor people. Who needs to give the Machzis HaShekel? Some people say boys who are over bar mitzvah. Some say boys who are over 20, like the nation of Israel were counted of the years of being available for military at the times of the Torah. However, today the minhag is for every man, woman, and child to give for, and even, let's say, a woman is pregnant, one gives a extra machzis shekel for that as well. The way it's usually done is that there's usually three coins strapped, taped together in the bowl. One puts in the value a little more than that, acquires it, places it down, and acquires and places it down for the amount of people that one is giving the machzis shekel for. Very special mitzvah, which is done during the month of Adar, which is when they used to collect for the base of English. We now move on to our third concept, which is davening in shul, and we're going to look at five basic questions. How does one prepare for Purim? So one needs to dress up like for Yom Tov, and although it's wonderful to have costumes, the time for the costumes is on Purim itself, but for going to the minyan at night, adults certainly should be wearing Yom Tov clothes as well. The house should be set up for Shabbos with the candles, the lights lit, and the bed table set, the beds made. It should be a special time. What is different about Maariv? So it's a regular Kriyas Shema and Amidah, but after the Amidah, there is a Kaddish Shalem, which sort of closes, which is a Kaddish asking that our prayers be accepted. Then the Megillah is read, followed by Va'ata Kadosh, which is like a portion of Uvala Tzion, followed by a Kaddish Shalem without Tiskabel, because to the word Tiskabel, or let our prayers be accepted, there was no new prayers since the Megillah was read and Aleinu. What happens if this is Motzei Shabbos? So it's really the same thing. It's just instead of starting Va'ata Kadosh after the Megillah, we restart with Vihi Noam leading to Yosheva Seser Elyon, and then into Vata Kadosh. After the Kaddish Shalem, then Havdalah is said, and then Aleinu. Are there any special additions to Maariv? The answer is yes. We do add Ala Nisim to Amidah, and we do add it to Birkas HaMazon. What if I forgot Ala Nisim? It's the same as Chanukah. If it's during the course of the bracha, I can still add it. If I already finished the bracha, I can add it as a supplication, as a Yiratzon or a Rachaman, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do with us miracles and salvations, like in the times of Mordechai and Esther, and then say the entire paragraph of this, whether at the end of the benching or the end, or in the Elokeinu Tzar at the end of the Amidah. If one forgets to add it even as a supplication, one does not go back, one does not have to repeat one's Shemona Esra if one completely forgot it. We move to our fourth and last concept, and that is the concept of Megillah reading. We're going to look at 14 basic questions. So who is obligated in the Megillah? Both men, women, and men and women above bar and bat mitzvah. What about children? Children who are of educational age should be brought in for chinuch. Children are very young. They create a lot of noise, and perhaps it's better for them not to be brought into the regular minyan. If not, as minyan can be made for them, that's wonderful. But a lot of times one can't hear every word of the Megillah to fulfill the mitzvah in such a minyan. How many times must it be heard? So it needs to be heard both night and day. When can the night Megillah be read? So it needs to be read after Tzeis HaKochavim, after stars are out. So depending on the locale, it needs to be a segment of time after sunset. So one has passed through twilight and one is now in dark, definitely night. What if I'm really hungry? So one needs to wait until after the Megillah to eat. However, if someone is sick or weak, such a person may have a small snack or coffee before the Megillah, providing it has already reached Tzeis HaKochavim, even though the Megillah hasn't been read yet. What is the best context to hear the Megillah? So in a shul, it is the best place to hear it. That's because Barov Am Hadras Melech, the convenience is not a factor in Judaism. But being in a multitude of people is a factor in Judaism. So trying to be together in a large shul with lots of people together is the best and optimal way to fulfill the mitzvah of doing Mikra Megillah, because then it's done in a way where it's not just a haphazard group of people who conveniently found a location they can find a parking spot next to. It's about being able to say to you as a unified people, reflecting this incredible miracle, which is part of our national DNA. What if I cannot make it to the shul? So it is best to hear it at least in a minyan. What if I cannot make it to a minyan? Then it can be done outside of a minyan, as long as it is read by somebody who knows how to read it from a cleft, from a parchment. Is anything different if it's not in a minyan? The answer is yes. The bracha at the end is not read if there is no minyan. How is the Megillah held? So the person who's reading it unrolls it completely. A Megillah is a parchment. It's completely unfurled and it is wrapped over itself like an S, like a letter. So and that is, as it's described, as an igeres, Sapurim. It is called the letter. So it's read like a letter is being read to the public as well. Do the listeners who have their own cloth, their own parchment, need to wrap it as such? The answer is no, only the person who's really reading it as well. Which brachas are made on the Megillah? So before the Megillah is read, there are three brachas. There are Mikra Megillah, which is the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. There is Sha'asa Nisim, Hashem did incredible miracles with our forebears. And then Shechianu, that our Kadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us miraculously to be alive, to be around at this time, at this point in time, to experience this Purim. And after the Megillah, there one more bracha is read, which is Haravis Rivenu Hashem, who fights our fights as well. If an Avel is the Bal Kore, is anything different? Yes. If an Avel has to be the one who's the Bal Kore, then somebody else should say Shechianu. And finally, last question for today, is anything different during the day? The answer is yes. During the bracha of Shechianu, everybody should have an intention that the Shechianu, that our arrival at this station in life, is also relating to the mitzvah sayom, which are Mishlach Monas Matanus Levyonim and the Sa'uda, which is sending the special gifts, giving the charity, and also the festive meal, which we'll discuss in due course. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful